We're going to be wrapping up our series today on the Holy Spirit. If you've been with us, you know we've covered a lot of ground. Andy's taken us through a lot of great passages as we've learned a little bit more each week about the Holy Spirit, how He is our coach and God's way of guiding us to victory. Andy walked us through how the Holy Spirit showed up in the Old Testament, parts of the New Testament, the book of John, the amazing day of Pentecost when it was poured out on so many, the awesome power of the Spirit. And last week, Andy challenged us to continue to grow spiritually, that we need to mature and move on from milk to solid food spiritually. So we've learned a lot about the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, guiding us every step of the way. But here's the question. How do we know? How do we know it's the Spirit that is talking to us? How do we know what the Spirit sounds like with all the things that are hitting us every single day, all the different voices and perspectives in this life bombarding us? How do we know that it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking? This is the question that I want to set out to answer today. Throughout the series, you know, being coached kind of has a sports theme. I'm not much of a sports guy. Andy's used a lot of basketball analogies. I'm not going to be doing that. But I'm a hockey player, grew up playing hockey. Hockey and basketball are very, very different. And I found an image that kind of explains it. So basketball gets a leg cramp, you get carried off by five people. Hockey player breaks his leg, finishes the shift, and skates off. Okay? It's just the nature of it. It's just how it is. These are facts. Hockey is a tough sport. A very tough sport, but it's okay. Basketball doesn't lose the toughness battle. That belongs to soccer, if you go to the next one. Yeah, someone sneezes on you and you fall down and grab your ankle. You know, we've all seen it. I'm just kidding, but not really. What's been interesting to me growing up as a hockey player is the coaches. Because the coaches of hockey and basketball tend to be the opposite of the game. Because hockey is a very aggressive sport. Tough, the fighting, there's blood, the body checking. It's very, very physical. And yet, hockey coaches tend to be calm behind the bench. All the time. Quiet. And basketball coaches are famously angry. Throwing things. Chairs and bottles and clipboards and you name it. Even growing up as a kid, I'd watch professional hockey and a little bit of basketball when I had to. And I would see these coaches in basketball lose their minds. And that sport isn't even all that aggressive. When I'm out playing hockey, when you're playing hockey, there's a lot going on. And there's a lot of noise. You hear the other players, the sticks and the pucks and the referee and the parents. Oh, hockey moms, if you're not familiar, it's a thing. The screaming, the yelling at little kids. It happens. So much is going on, and you're in that rink and the ice, and it's all echoing. There's all this sound. But what you're not hearing is an angry coach yelling at you all the time, telling you every play-by-play thing that you need to do. The reason is hockey is a very fluid sport, and you practice a lot, and you go over things, and you learn how to be a hockey player and how to play the game. And so when you're out there, the coach is counting on you to remember your training, to remember what you've been taught, and to do the things that he taught you to do. Now, if you mess up because you're going to make a bad decision, a bad play, you're going to get off the ice, he'll come down quietly and whisper in your ear and remind you of what you needed to know. And most of the time, it's something you already heard, something you already knew, but he reminds you. Now, I think the Holy Spirit is like that. Teaching us all the things that we need to know. Not new things, a lot of things that we already know. But through this life, we need reminders. We need those nudges constantly. So I want to elaborate on this idea today, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as the backdrop. We'll read the whole thing. It's only 16 verses. And just see what's in there to help us understand and answer this question. How do we know it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us? So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom, For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we're going to stop there. Here's the Apostle Paul. We know the Apostle Paul. What do we know about him? A Pharisee. Pharisee of all Pharisees. Highly educated, highly knowledgeable, and yet here he is saying, when I came to you, it wasn't with all this wonderful human stuff, because I claim to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. By the world standard, he was a great man, highly educated, very knowledgeable, but he is reducing himself and pointing his audience to the only thing that matters. Christ and him crucified. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ in who he is and Christ in what he did for us. And he's about to launch into wisdom of the Spirit. And he sets the stage by saying, none of this is from me. None of this is from man. This is all from Jesus. And in this, Paul gives us an anchor in terms of how we can understand and discern the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's our first point today. Jesus is the key to unlocking the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus is the key to unlocking the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. Now, I realize this is broad and vague, but my hope is that you know me well enough by now to know we're going to go deep. We're going to get specific and very practical this morning. So we continue on in verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for your glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Final verse. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now there's so much in there. We could do 3 series and 12 different sermons on this chapter. But what I want to do this morning is zoom way out and look at it thematically. And see how it can help us answer this question of how do we discern the Spirit in our lives. In this chapter, Paul establishes a couple things for us. First, as we already started to talk about it, he focuses our attention on the focal point, the foundation, Jesus Christ. Points us right to Christ and attributes all of this spiritual wisdom to Jesus. He bookends this chapter with Jesus. We read that verse. I have decided to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. And the last words of the chapter, we have the mind of Christ. All of this centered on Christ. So how do we have the mind of Christ? Kind of an odd thing to say. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. I love this verse because we have the Trinity in a single verse. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, you are not flesh, but you are spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And we must have the Spirit of Christ. All the same thing. The Spirit that is in us is the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of Christ. It is the very Spirit of Jesus Christ that dwells in all of us. And that's very important. That's the first thing. The second thing, Paul sets up a very stark contrast throughout this chapter. There's the natural world and there's the spiritual world. The things of men and the things of God. The natural and the spiritual. Things of the world, things of God and spirit. Look at the language in here. Verse 5. So that your faith might not rest in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6. It's not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, but wisdom of God. Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. And 13. We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Takes us to our next point, and frankly, the overarching point in all of this. The Holy Spirit sounds like Jesus and not the world. The Holy Spirit, when speaking to all of us, will sound like Jesus. It will not sound like the world. How do we know that? It's kind of a bold claim. And we talked about it a little bit. The Spirit of God, I get that, it's from God, but here I'm saying it sounds specifically like Jesus. John 14:26, when Jesus is talking to his disciples and starting to prepare to go away, and he says, I have to go away so that the Spirit can come. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Spirit will come and remind you of the things that I have already told you. It is the Spirit of Christ helping us remember everything he said and how he lived. And let's not forget, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is penned by the Holy Spirit. So it will sound like Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will never contradict Jesus or the Word of God. Sounds like Jesus, not the world. Now, not the world. 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, for the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but of this world. In 2 Timothy 4:3, for time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. The Holy Spirit sounds like Christ and not the world. So let's go deeper. I want to provide three attributes today, supported by Scripture. I didn't make these up. All under this idea that the Holy Spirit sounds like Jesus. And this will help us discern the Spirit in our lives. The first one, the Holy Spirit will always, always align with Jesus' life and his teaching and not current society and culture. The Spirit will always align with Jesus' life and teaching and never current society and culture. Remember his words. The Spirit will remind you of all that I have taught you. Even in today's passage, in verse 6, it says, this is not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. The wisdom of culture and modern society is ever-changing and fleeting and self-serving. Look at the trends and the topics going on right now. How confused everybody is around identity, things of that nature. It's even infecting the church as some churches are creating provision and allowing for sin to be acceptable because it's leaning into this idea of culture, these cultural voices and interpreting Scripture through that lens instead of looking at the world through the lens of the Scripture. It's backwards. The wisdom of God from the Spirit never changes. It never changes. As we just read, this is ancient since before time. And it's as relevant today as it has ever been for all of us. There won't be newfangled teachings of the Scripture. We have to be so careful with the things we hear and read and see online these days. Prophecies. Oh, in my YouTube feed, I had a dream and God gave me a prophetic word for you, James. Don't think so. And if he did, you better write it down because now we're creating new Scripture. It doesn't work that way. It will point back to Jesus, his life, and all of Scripture. The Spirit sounds like Jesus, not culture or current events. Let's look at the contrast. The world says, hey, you do you. Look out for number one. The world is your oyster. Get ahead. Get rich. Be wealthy. Be powerful. Jesus says, if anyone would be first, they need to be last. They need to become the servant of all. Mark 9:35. And in his life, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Every time we talk about that, we talk about how gross that would be. It's not like washing our feet. He washed their feet and said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. The Son of God, God himself, the perfect man, the King of all kings, came to serve as our example. Here's another one. The world says, get revenge. Somebody slighted you, you tell them. Give them a piece of your mind. Or worse, get back at them, get even. Jesus says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone would take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:39-41. Here's another one. Hate that person. Hate those people. This is the world. They're your enemy. They're not like you. You don't need them. Cut them out of your life. Never talk to them again. Jesus says, you've heard it said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Also, Sermon on the Mount. The Holy Spirit sounds like Jesus reminding us of things we already know in our heart, in our spirit. Here's the next one, these attributes that we can understand about the Spirit. The guidance of the Holy Spirit will always honor, glorify, and exalt God and not us. The Spirit will encourage us to live and behave in a way that honors, glorifies, and exalts God and doesn't exalt ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, anything, do all for the glory of God. Everything we do is for the glory of God. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are to live a life that shines brightly in the darkness, not for our glory, but for his. It's instructed. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Our very being is to glorify God. And then Jesus' words in Luke 14, the parable of the wedding feast. But when you're invited, go and sit at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus' words. The Spirit will guide us to honor and glorify God and not exalt ourselves. Last one. The guidance of the Holy Spirit will be others focused and not self focused. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We are supposed to out-humble each other. Outdo each other with how much we care for one another. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. John 15:13, greater love has none than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The Spirit will inspire us to be focused on others and not focused on ourselves. With the caveat that when we have work to do on ourselves, the Spirit will show us that for sure. But I assure you, when there's things going on, the Spirit is going to help us see the people in our lives, friends and enemies, others focused, not focused on ourselves. So the Spirit sounds like Jesus. That's how we know. And the whole of Scripture, it will never contradict Scripture. That is how we can know that it's the Spirit. It will sound like Jesus. It will reflect his life and his teaching. It will glorify and honor God, and it will put others first. But let's get even more practical. And these are challenging. Real examples. Real examples. You may have heard it. You may have been around it. Real things that happen, I think, more prevalent than we might imagine. It's happened at my old church. The Spirit wants me to leave my wife. Oh, yeah, why is that? Well, because God wants me to be happy. Jesus in Matthew 19, when the Pharisees come to him, test him and saying, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Very important. I'll come back to that. He answered, Have you not read that he created them from the beginning, made them male and female, and said, therefore, man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Don't misunderstand me. I am not making a sweeping statement about the complexities of divorce. That is not what this situation is saying. This is a believer who is claiming that the Spirit of God has told him to leave his spouse so he can be happier. I don't think so. Doesn't sound like Jesus. Doesn't honor God and God's design. And certainly isn't putting others first. This is someone who is exalting their happiness above their spouse and their happiness above the sanctity and covenant of marriage. In a lot of ways, this example isn't even about divorce. It's about exalting happiness above everything else. Here's another one, probably even more common. Now, I've prayed about it. God said I don't have to forgive that person. It's tough. But many of us can relate to that. It's so difficult. Matthew 18, Jesus' words, chapter earlier, before the parable of the unforgiving servant. We know the story. Peter comes up to him and says, Lord, how often when my brother sins against me, must I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus says, not seven, but 70 or 70 times seven, depending on the translation. But the number doesn't matter. Jesus is saying total, all the time, every time. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what that person did to me. It's true. I don't, but Jesus does. And don't forget that while we were still sinners, we were forgiven. And we didn't do anything to deserve it. We do not get to sit in unforgiveness, as hard as that is. Doesn't sound like Jesus. I don't have to forgive that person. God said it's fine. Doesn't sound like Jesus. Doesn't honor God, who's in the forgiveness business. And it's not putting others first, that's for sure. These three attributes, it's not a formula. It's certainly not an exhaustive list of discerning the voice of the Spirit in our lives. I wish it were that simple, that we could just look at everything and go through the checklist and go, okay, good, that's the Spirit, that's not the Spirit. But the reality is, life's complicated. A lot of different things going on. There's a lot of nuance and unique complexities in this fallen life. We have to exercise tremendous discernment, seeking wisdom. Sometimes it'll be very clear that it's the Spirit. Sometimes it won't. Now, that's not all that helpful. I started by saying, we're going to decipher this. We're going to figure out how do we discern the voice of the Spirit in our lives. And now I'm saying, well, it's pretty complicated. You're going to have to discern it. What do we do? What do we do with that? How can we, because we have an active role to play in our relationship with the Father through the Son, what can we do to better listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Well, it goes back to Paul's initial point. I decided to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. The gospel of Jesus Christ is everything. We cling to Christ. Cling to Him. Get to know Him more. I don't care how well you know Him, there's more. I don't care how closely we're walking with Him, we can walk closer. Always spending more time. Read the Gospels. Read the whole of Scripture. We talk about, it's the beginning of the year now, we talk about read through the Bible in a year. A wonderful goal. But as Andy said last week or the week before, maybe that's not where he's leading you. Maybe he's saying, hunker down in the Gospels. Spend time with my Son. Learn more about my Son and what that means for you. It all applies to us today. Because the reality is this, final point. When we truly know Jesus as intimately as possible, when we truly know Jesus, we will recognize His Spirit. Remember, it's His Spirit that dwells in us. The more we know Him, the louder and clearer the Spirit will be in our lives. You know, here our vision is Destination Jesus. And the mission is to believe, belong, and become. Believe in Jesus, belong to Him and to each other, and become more like Him. How can you become like someone you don't know all that well? We have to know Him as closely as possible. And we have everything we need to do so. We just have to spend time and seek Him. That is what we can do. The Spirit has promised to us. What we can do is seek Him, and it will become clearer and louder. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Him, or you only know Him a little. I'd love to talk to you about that. I'll be down here after service. Would love to talk to you about it, to start that journey or strengthen that journey, because we're all on one. And we can all grow. We can all grow closer and closer to Jesus. Let's cling to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, words cannot describe Your glory, the wonder and the awe that we have, Lord. I pray that we never lose sight of that. We never lose sight of the awe in Your presence. And the fact that we can be in Your presence, Lord, because of Your Son, because of the sacrifice that we are reconciled back to You. And if that wasn't enough, Lord, I'm so thankful that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, living in us, showing us the way, guiding us to victory each and every day. I pray that that voice is louder than everything else, drowning out every noise from the world, and that we keep our eyes fixed on You. I pray that everyone in here, Lord, that we all just seek to know You more and more each day as we seek to become more like You each day. In Jesus' name, amen.